Redmayne is also celebrating this weekend. You know him from the Fantastic Beasts movies. He also won an Oscar as Stephen Hawking in The Theory of Everything. He connected with his feminine side in that transgender movie, The Danish Girl. He's celebrating his 42nd birthday this weekend. Comedian Cristela Alonso, who plays Cruz Ramirez in Cars 3, also stars on the ABC sitcom Cristela. Had no idea that was even a thing, so apparently it's just being launched or was short-lived. One of the two, I can't even tell you. More recently, she did the Netflix special Lower Classy. She's 45. Danny Pintaro is celebrating. You know him best as Jonathan from Who's the Boss? He is 48 years old. Julie Chen is celebrating this weekend as well. She's the host of Big Brother, and she's the wife of former CBS president Les Moonves. Now, she was one of the ladies originally on that show, The Talk, if you watch daytime TV. And then her husband had to step down at CBS because of sexual misconduct allegations. Didn't go well for her resume either, so she stepped down from The Talk, but she still does host Big Brother. I mentioned it, she's 54. I can't remember if I did. Gabrielle Reese, who is 6'3". She wears a size 8 dress, a size 11. Shoe. She dated Dean Cain and Deion Sanders in the 1980s, and then she married a surfing stud in 1995. She was a heck of a volleyball player, though. She is celebrating her 54th birthday. Speaking of football, Howie Long, Raiders legend and Fox football commentator, is celebrating his 64th birthday. Mr. Bean himself, Rowan Atkinson, is celebrating this weekend. Finn, he is 69 years old. Trudy Styler, that's right. We are talking about Sting's wife, is celebrating her 70th birthday. And remember, she's a lady that can be seduced by tantric yoga any old time she wants. I don't know why we have to know these things about Trudy Styler and Sting, but
how
we all
do. She again?
70 years old for Trudy Styler. Yeah, they're getting up there as well. Lou Holtz, legendary Notre Dame football coach and former ESPN analyst. He had a cameo as himself in The Blind Side. He is 87 years old. Apparently, we're celebrating celebrity birthdays for kids now because Blue Ivy Carter, Beyonce and Jay-Z's daughter, celebrating her 12th birthday. She's kind of made a name for herself, though. I mean, she was pretty phenomenal on stage touring with her mom as one of her dancers this summer. And so you got to give Blue Ivy some credit if that's where her passions are. And, you know, kudos to Beyonce and Jay-Z for letting her kind of get out there and explore and you know, trusting her to be part of the dance crew, you know, because they expected her to be able to do everything else that Beyonce's dancers could do. And if you've seen Beyonce's dancers, they don't sit for very long. Let's just put it like that. So I do give a 12-year-old credit for that kind of work ethic, though. Lindsay Fonseca, who played Josh Peck's sister on the Turner and Hooch TV series. She happened to be Ted's daughter on How I Met Your Mother. She was Alex on Nikita and Peggy's best friend Angie on Agent Carter. She is 37. We have Jeremy Renner celebrating a birthday this morning. We've mentioned Avengers and MCU a bunch of times this morning. Of course, he's Hawkeye. He was also in Mission Impossible, and he starred in The Hurt Locker. He is 53 years old.
He had that massive snowplow accident last year, and I've been seeing stuff in the news where he went back to the hospital and just checked in with the people that helped him last year. I thought that was kind of cool.
I think he's a really awesome kind of guy, and listening to his interviews about that entire thing, I mean, he was really just out there trying to help people in wrong place, wrong time, and it's just, it happened to be an actual accident. It was kind of insane. Dougie Doug, comedic genius from Cool Runnings, one of my favorite shows, and the less popular Cosby sitcom. He's probably not too proud of that one this day and age, but he's celebrating his 54th birthday. Nicolas Cage is celebrating. Finn overacts, but doesn't manage to really take care of his money at all. Anyway, he's celebrating his 60th birthday. Rand Paul, who is the senator from Kentucky, is 61 years old. Oh, this is a name I haven't heard in a while. Donna Rice Hughes. Now, Gary Hart was powerless over her in 1988 and all of the Temptations. After their affair ended his presidential hope, she became an anti-porn activist. Imagine that. She is 66 years old. Sometimes these things
people
can't even...
People in glass houses,
right? I mean, sometimes life is just better than anything we could ever imagine. Oh, my goodness. Katie Couric is celebrating her 67th birthday. Just watched a video that her daughter posted on social media the other day telling Katie Couric that she's going to be a grandma for the first time. It was pretty awesome. David Caruso. Oh, my husband is rejoicing somewhere because he sure does love Horatio Caine from CSI Miami. David Caruso celebrating his 68th 8th birthday. Sometimes my husband will take off his sunglasses in a moment and be like, what would H do right now? I was like, probably nothing that you're thinking. Let's move on. Aaron Gray, who played Colonel Wilma Deering on Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, and she was Kate Summers on Silver Spoons, going really older school on that one. She is 74. I promise we're almost done. Kenny Loggins, oh my gosh. Your Mama Don't Dance from 1972. Whenever I Call You Friend with Stevie Nicks from 78. I'm All Right from 1980. Don't Fight It with Steve Perry from 82. You have Footloose from 84. We Are the World from 85. Danger Zone from the original Top Gun from 86. And then, of course, oh, who can forget Return to Pooh Corner from 1994? Kenny Loggins celebrating his 76th birthday this weekend.
He's had a few hits.
Just a
Mr.
few.
Loggins.
And I mean, they're all basically related to some sort of pop culture icon movie. And so I love Kenny Loggins.
I think you mentioned We Are the World in there, didn't you?
Yes. Yep. From 1985.
I forgot about him being part
of
that.
I know. Right? Yeah. That was a huge ensemble of celebrities associated with that. And then finally, we wrap up our celebrity list. And whew, that was a long one. Jan Wenner, Rolling Stones founder and publisher. He launched the career of almost famous Ben Fong Torres, who also turned 79 today. You're going to have to look that one up. Anyway, Jan Wenner celebrating his 78th birthday today, or this weekend, I should say. Then, of course, we do have one local birthday we've got to pass along this morning. Cindy Cruz is celebrating. Now, I know Cindy is an avid morning show listener, so thank you for that. She also happens to be the lady who keeps Corey Hartman and Dave Grant styling all the time with the dudes. Ah. So we love Cindy for that because, well, I've seen how Corey's come into her once in a while. It's very mullety, so I'm glad that she can handle that and take care of that. Happy birthday, Cindy. You have a fantastic day. Thank you for making my husband look handsome again. I appreciate it. Now, if you're celebrating a birthday...
Did you get the one over? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh,
there's
no.
One on the text line, too.
Oh, did it just come in? Oh, yep, yeah, it just came in. All right. I'm sorry. Trisha Paff is celebrating today, 50 years old. Are we supposed to say Trisha's birthday? It's in there, so I'm saying it. She obviously is celebrating in all of her glory, and then we're supposed to say happy birthday from Bacon. So thank you very much for the text this morning. And hopefully, Trisha and Cindy have a wonderful day. And if you happen to be celebrating, whether it's a birthday or anniversary, we hope you also have a wonderful day. Now, remember to add somebody to the list. Very easy stuff. You just have to text us on the Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells text line, 355-9970. Now, coming up, we're going to take a detailed look at your forecast. Temperature's going to hang out in the mid-30s for the weekend, Finn. We could see some flurries, maybe some light snow as well. Sean Cable will tell you more about that in just a moment. We'll have ABC and local news, and right now it's your community calendar brought to you by Pizza Ranch of Baraboo.
Hi, this is Mary at the Baraboo Pizza Ranch. We have a new sweet almond cactus spread ready for you. It's made with our skillet crust, brushed with butter, sprinkled with cinnamon sugar, topped with an almond-flavored streusel and a white sugar topping. And when it comes out of the oven, we top it with our icing and some slivered almonds, and it is yummy. Here at the Baraboo Pizza Ranch, you can dine in or order it for delivery or carry out. 448-2215.
Here's a look at some of the upcoming area events brought to you by Pizza Ranch. Coming up on Saturday, January 6th, it's going to be the Mirror Lake State Park Snowshoe and Hike Event. Join the Friends of Mirror Lake State Park for torchlit trails, bonfires, and more. The Friends will also have refreshments and goodies for a free will offering that you can enjoy around the bonfires. They'll have two lit trails, one for skiing and one for hiking and snowshoeing. This is a free event, but you will need a valid state park sticker admission for your vehicle. Again, this is Saturday, January 6th from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. More details can be found at friendsofmirrorlakesp.org. And that same day from 10 a.m. until noon, the Sauk City Library will be hosting a Winter Wonderland party for kids and families. This will include crafts, snacks, and a movie. And celebrate the winter season at the George Culver Community Library. They'll be watching the award-winning movie The Snowman by Raymond Briggs. Come chill out at the library and enjoy some indoor winter fun. SaukCityLibrary.org for more details. This is 10 a.m. until noon on January 6th. And a reminder that the 5th Annual FFA Alumni and Supporters Raffle will be taking place on Saturday, February 17th. It's going to be at 10 a.m. You do not need to be present to win, but you can get raffle tickets either by contacting Baraboo FFA alumni and supporters on Facebook or reach out to them on Instagram at Baraboo FFA alumni. Cost of the tickets are $5 each or $20 for 5 tickets. Again, get all the details over on their Facebook page, Baraboo FFA alumni and supporters. And this drawing will take place February 17th at 10 a.m.
We tend not to think about right now, but right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. When you give to the V Foundation, 100% of your donation goes directly to game-changing cancer research. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you. Donate at V.org, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Another strong jobs report. The Labor Department says 216,000 jobs were added last month. Economists had predicted about 170,000 jobs were added, but that's still within the range of allowing inflation to cool without sparking fears of a recession as the Federal Reserve tries to manage inflation. Perry High School in Iowa was the scene of a school shooting Thursday. A sixth grader was killed. 5 others were hurt. Authorities say the 17-year-old shooter waited in a bathroom before launching his attack before school. Ninth grader Anthony Ubaldo saw him.
I heard someone moving around, and I looked through the little crack in the stall. He looked at me through the crack. He opened his duffel bag and hooked it up. My body just told me, like, you're not supposed to be here. Leave.
Shooter died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. President Biden delivers his first speech of the re-election campaign today in Pennsylvania. This is ABC News.
Now this news update from Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Ted Aylin. A Lafayette County couple charged in the death of a baby were in court Wednesday. Maria Guadalupe Atlawa Aguas and Azariel Aguiar Gonzalez are charged with first-degree reckless homicide and physical abuse of a child. That's in connection to a possible child abuse case involving an infant in Belmont. An off-duty Milwaukee police officer who died when his car crashed into a semi in Oak Creek last month was driving drunk. The Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's Office confirmed Thursday James Nowak's blood alcohol content at the time of the December 3rd crash was 3 times over the legal limit. And healthcare workers employed by Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin are moving to unionize. The Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals has announced the plan, calling it a critical step toward strengthening Planned Parenthood and organized labor in the face of political attacks on both. Ted Aylin, Wisconsin Radio Network News.
It is going to be cloudy today. Our high right around 35 this afternoon with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy. We see a few flurries toward morning. Our low down to 27. Tomorrow, cloudy with light snow. Won't be much accumulation, but could be enough to make things a little slick. Our high tomorrow, 34. If you need help with back taxes, give Tax Solutions Now a call. They can help with your IRS problems. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 25. 99.7.
It's 8:13 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We always appreciate it. Happy Friday. Love saying that. Here's Duran Duran. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. It is 8:16 right now. And Finn, I was going through the text line this morning, making sure I hadn't missed anything else. We got a text in a couple of days ago from a number, just said avocado. That's the only message in avocado.
I saw that.
That's all it says.
So now, mysterious.
I don't know if it maybe went to the wrong phone number, to the wrong text. I'm not really sure, but avocado. Okay, I love a good avocado. I don't have anything against it. I just thought it was funny.
And just one word, avocado. That's all it was.
That's it. That's all it was. I don't know. Maybe it was a reminder because I did just pick up avocados at the store yesterday. So maybe it was my reminder. And I want to apologize to the Paff family because every time I see their name, I should know this. It should be ingrained. They've had students who've done amazing things in the schools. We've talked about their kids playing sports. It throws me, though, every time because we had a family when I was growing up. Actually, their daughter was, we were pretty good friends in elementary school. Their last name was spelled exactly the same, but every time I see their name, it throws me because they pronounced theirs Faff. So the P was silent, and yeah. In this case, the P is not silent, so it throws me every time. So thank you, Brian, for the text this morning, and again, we'll say we hope Trisha has a very happy birthday, and I do want to throw in a little happy birthday to my kiddo, and we mentioned it very early on this morning. He'll be 20 on Sunday. I was just trying to get through the celebrity stuff. It was a lot. it was a big one. It was a big one this weekend. My goodness. I don't want to talk too much about our New Year's resolutions anymore, but I don't know if this one would be so much a resolution, but it is an interesting phenomenon because if you're single and you're looking to find a significant other, maybe that's your 2024 resolution. Nothing like putting a little pressure on yourself. This coming Sunday is notable, and not just as the absolute deadline for taking down the Christmas tree, but according to Tinder, it's the first Sunday in January is Dating Sunday, the busiest day of the year for online dating. Now, on Dating Sunday, they see an extraordinary surge in people updating bios, uploading photos, sending messages, and even responding to them. In fact, Tinder says that people respond to messages 19.4 minutes faster on Dating Sunday than any other Sunday of the year. Now, they can't really explain why this is. Maybe it's a mix of several different things. Fresh start for the new year. I mentioned New Year's resolution, right? The start of a more available period after months of holidays, gatherings, and being around other couples. Now you feel like maybe you got to try to couple up yourself a little bit. Who knows?
The pressure.
I know, right? Now, by the way, this is not just Tinder because, well, we know what Tinder's actual goals in life are, or at least were long ago. A few years back, someone from Match.com actually called Dating Super Bowl the Super Bowl of dating apps, which is kind of interesting. But it is an interesting phenomenon. And again, this just makes me happy that I'm not single in life anymore, because this just feels like a lot of pressure on Dating Sunday, does it not?
Exactly. Aren't you glad we hooked up with our significant others when we did?
Even if he makes me watch stupid documentaries and old game shows, I'm still very happy about that because this just seems like a lot of pressure. And if your New Year's resolution is seriously, and I kind of joke about it, but if it's seriously to find a significant other in 2024, that just feels like you're setting yourself up for failure at some point, or you're going to put yourself under a ton of pressure. So hopefully people are just trying to find somebody to have a little fun with in the new year, maybe explore some different options around their area. I have no idea, but yikes, Dating Sunday.
And then there's even more pressure because Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Let that stuff evolve organically, right?
But I think people, you know, after you've been home from the holidays, I don't know if you ever came across this, but I came across a period of time in my life when my family would be like, so are you dating anybody yet? Is there anybody that you're dating? And then they would actually go as far as setting up family engagements where they would have like young single like bachelors there for me to like meet. It was like my family's own version of like The Bachelor before it was before it was like a TV show. And there weren't like romantic overnight dates or anything. It was just like, why don't you sit next to him and have your barbecue chicken? What are we doing here? It was very bizarre.
How did that go? Did that work out all right?
I usually just left and then let my aunts date him. It was fine. I was just like, if he's so great, then you date him.
Exactly.
Usually took my barbecue chicken and my tater salad and I moved on with life. But it was a very weird, awkward stage. And, you know, after I'd been in such a bad relationship throughout most of high school, early college, I just needed things to simmer and meld a little bit, right? Like, that was not anything on my trajectory. It was not anything that I was looking to get involved in. I just needed to be for a little bit. But that was apparently not how it was going to go down. So they weren't bad at it, and they didn't get annoying about it, but it was just, they were so obvious about what they were doing. I would be like, why would he be here? We've never had a function in our entire lives where their family and our family would get together. What are we doing? It was so obvious.
Were they afraid you were going to wind up a lonely spinster? Is that what it was?
Probably. And I think some of them kind of had an inkling of how bad the relationship had been in high school. They didn't know all the gory details of everything. Yeah. So I think they were trying to be helpful, because sometimes my family is overly helpful in certain situations. So I think it was their way of trying to be helpful. But instead, they made it really weird and awkward.
Well, hey, everybody has had those people that they have dated where it did not work out, and they found out, you know, while they were dating, that this person was not the right person for them. So, I mean
isn't that why you date, kind of? Like,
you gotta weed out the bad ones. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I get it, especially if it's a long-term relationship. It can be hard. It can be painful. There's things that happen that, you know, are hard to forgive or forget or whatever it may be. I get all of that. But I also feel like that's why we date, too. You know, even if it's a long-term relationship, do you really, I mean, you got to think about these things. Is this really somebody you want to maybe spend the rest of your life with? I mean, these are things that I feel like we have to go through the process of figuring out before we make like major commitments to people. You know, I don't know. That was always kind of my philosophy. It's why Corey and I think worked so well, because we were friends for months.
Sure.
Before we even started dating. And about the time we had everybody convinced that we weren't dating, then we actually were. Because we were like, no, we're not dating. We just hang out. We just go have dinner together. We talk about things. And everybody assumed that we were dating at the time, and we absolutely were not. And then about the time they all kind of gave up the idea, we were like, oh, surprise, now we're getting married.
He caught him off guard.
We did. We truly, truly
you
did.
Know, and I don't want to generalize. I don't want to say it's the same for everybody, but
everybody's got their own story.
Trying to make those lifetime commitments and figure out who you're going to be with when you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, again,
I was still a mess in my 20s. Now, we ended up getting married in our 20s and then having Max when we were in our mid 20s. And even then, I was kind of like, am I equipped to do this? I mean, I had to be because I had the kid and we
like
were married.
Me, you know, you became a parent when you were pretty young.
Yeah, we really did. And we didn't really have a choice. I mean, it was so cute, because I'll never forget my poor husband. I mean, he knew all the medical issues I'd been going through college with endometriosis. And he actually came to the station in South Dakota to work when I was gone. I was at the Mayo Clinic. They had sent me up there because they needed to figure out exactly how this endo was affecting me and where and all of this kind of stuff. So I'd been up at the Mayo Clinic for months when he came into the station. So he didn't even really think I existed. Everybody talked about me, but I was never there because I was basically gone for that entire summer. And, you know, so once I came back in, he was like, oh, you really do exist. So he kind of understood the whole thing. But it was so funny because he had met my doctor who delivered both of my kids. She'd been there basically from the beginning of endo through every surgery I had, like all 15 of them or whatever. She was there through all of it, every single step of it. So she knew Corey why we were dating, because he'd come to an appointment or two with me if he could. And then we got married and we eloped. And it was so cute because I went in for my monthly checkup with her and blood work and all of that kind of stuff. And her nurse right away saw the wedding ring. And she goes, you got married. She goes, this wasn't planned. She goes, you would have said something. She's like, we see you monthly. Well, of course, I know these women so well because I see them so often and I interact with all of them. So all of the nurses come in. Dr. Davis comes in and she goes, I want to see the husband. And so they bring Corey into the back room, to the exam room. And Dr. Davis, who basically knew me so well, she gives him a big hug and she sits down and proceeds to lecture him. We've been married for like 1.5 weeks. And she proceeds to tell him that if you're going to have a baby, the window is small. So you should probably start trying. I was like, oh, now you're going to scare him away. Like, and she goes, it's fine. Right? The paperwork's already signed. It's good. But she goes, you do need to understand the options, which I don't know if we had to do it again or if we would have had actually more time, if we would have started our family as young as we were or waited a few years. But we really, truly didn't have any options. And now I look at it, we're only going to be like in our mid-40s when Dexter eventually leaves the house, or later 40s. We have a whole lifetime to get to all of the other good stuff. Plus, now I feel like we'll appreciate it and enjoy it more now that we're a little older and we've been through the throngs of parenthood and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, there are good things that you can do when you're young, but at the same time, I always feel like I appreciate some of those things that I wanted to do in my 20s more now that I'm in my 40s, just because of life experience, other things I've seen, other things I've been able to do. And so I feel like I appreciate all that stuff that I've always wanted to do much more than I probably would have in my 20s. So
Need a dating app. See,
I don't know. See, you don't need that kind of stuff. But if you're going to, if you think you're going to meet the love of your life through a dating app, apparently Sunday, this is the day you got to do it. Dating Sunday. You get yourself signed up and you meet the person of your dreams. Let's just put it like that, maybe, because that's how the dating apps usually work. Now, I know some people have had a major success and great relationships based off apps and have ended up going on to get married. A lot of them, though, not so much. So I guess it maybe depends on the person and how serious both people involved are. But
I guess at least we're not watching it unfold on a new season of The Bachelor. So
I saw The Golden Bachelor I didn't watch it last night, but I was watching TV yesterday, and The Golden Bachelor wedding took place on ABC last night. Ooh. So I'm sure that people were very, very excited and all a flutter for that one. Uh-huh. I skipped it, by the way, just in case you're wondering, and stayed in the kitchen and made frozen pizza for my kids.
You weren't glued to it? It wasn't like Your True Detective, the new season?
I was not glued to that one. Nope. In fact, I was watching old reruns of Chicago Fire on ION while
That works too. Right?
I was sitting with my dog and with the fireplace, and we were dozing and watching old episodes of Chicago Fire. So I hope the marriage on The Golden Bachelor goes very, very well, because essentially that's like a glorified dating app, is it not?
Exactly.
I mean, it truly is. Coming up, we got to take a look at the forecast now. That's in a little bit when Sean Cable tells us about it. Right now it's on me. Cloudy today with a high near 35. I'll someday figure out this morning show thing. Cloudy with some flurries towards morning. I mean, we're talking later tonight. 27 is our low. And then tomorrow, cloudy. We could see some light snow, especially in the morning. Not a lot as far as accumulation goes, but enough to maybe make the road slick. So just something to keep in mind if you do have to be anywhere tomorrow. Just keep an eye on the weather. Right now it is 25. It's 8:29 right now. Here is Phil Collins. You Can't Hurry Love on Max FM. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Phil Collins, You Can't Hurry Love. An appropriate song coming out of the topic of dating apps and finding new love in 2024.
Yes.
Listen to Phil Collins, folks. You can't hurry love. He had it all right. Now, of course, we're getting ready for Chris Hobble, our Packers expert, to join us here in just a moment so that we can talk about that big matchup between the Packers and the Bears Sunday afternoon at Lambeau when the Packers get into the playoffs. So we'll get into that in just a few minutes. But before we can do that, we do have to do a little celebrating this morning with these calendar days. There's some good stuff that we can celebrate this weekend, which is good because it's relatively quiet as we come out of the holidays. This is one that I will not be observing today. It's National Bird Day. So I'm just out on that one. I know they're lovely. I know they're beautiful. A lot of you like to feed them.
You're not a fan.
I, for one, will not be participating. It's also National Screenwriters Day. Now, we mentioned the fact that some shows that we really, really love have been pushed off because of that screenwriters strike earlier this year. Everything seems to be moving nicely now. The agreements are made.
Yeah.
And we know that it's the screenwriters who really bring magic to our favorite movies, TV shows, even our video games, because they have to be adapted some way, right? And it's the screenwriters who do all of that. So Screenwriters Day today. I love it. Then there's a couple of food-related ones as well. National Keto Day is today. Of course, a lot of people like to turn to keto if they're trying to, you know, lose some weight, which New Year's resolutions, hello. So this is your day that you celebrate the keto plan. And this is one that I could get way more behind, though. It's National Whipped Cream Day. So I love myself some good whipped cream. I'll put it on. Give me some barbecue
tacos.
Beef or tacos. I wouldn't shy away. I love myself some good whipped cream. Then as we look ahead to the rest of the weekend, what else do we have? Apple Tree Day is tomorrow, which seems kind of silly because most of the country is cold and I don't know what we're doing with our apple trees, but apparently we're celebrating them starting tomorrow. We also have Cuddle Up Day, which makes more sense to me, the first weekend of January when it's cold and maybe a little cloudy and gloomy. So celebrate that one however way you want. National Smith Day is also tomorrow. This is essentially a day when we just honor the people with the last name Smith. So there you go. We've got National Take a Poet to Lunch Day. Now, I know your Phoenix is a writer. Any poetry in his mix, or does he Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. So I guess we're taking him to lunch then, huh?
That's right. Okay. That's right. So see, now you got plans.
Okay.
It's also National Take Down the Christmas Tree Day tomorrow. If it's still up, this is your day to think about taking it down.
We had this discussion just yesterday because we were driving, running errands, and we had this big discussion about those people that as soon as Christmas is over,
that's me,
they take everything down.
That's
everything.
Me.
Is that you? Yeah.
That is me. I can, it's hard. It's really hard. If I could get up on the morning of December 26th and start dismantling everything, I would, because I'm ready to get life back to normal. When we do decorate,
do you put it up? Just so I know.
Usually the Friday after Thanksgiving is usually when we decorate.
Okay.
And then if I could take it down on December 26th, starting at 8 a.m., I would.
Much work though, Maddie, to get it up.
But
yeah,
I like my house back to normal. I like normalcy.
Okay.
But then plus when my decorations go down, I feel like I'm getting a grip back on the schedule, right? Because I work best in a schedule. I work best when things are kind of laid out the way I like them. And when it's the holidays, I feel like there's a big free for all, you know, like the kids aren't in a schedule. I'm not really in a routine. My husband's work schedule is all boxed. And so when the Christmas decorations go down, I feel like I'm starting to get a grip back on some of that stuff. Even if I'm not, it just makes me feel better. However, I have relented over the years, especially when the boys were little and loved the Christmas decorations. Now they're anti-traditionalists and they could care less. But when they were little, I would relent and I would at least leave them up until January 2nd at 8 a.m. and then they would go down.
Okay.
And plus,
right.
That's when I had Corey's help yet. Like he would still be there to help me, you know, because usually he would take off like one or two days after the new year. He would work right up till Christmas and then he would take off a couple of days after the first of the year when things were a little less crazy everywhere and we could maybe go do something fun with the boys, especially when they were really small. So I would have his help to take everything down. So I'm a get it down as soon as I can kind of person.
If it were up to me, we would probably leave it up through the end of January.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I think we'll leave it up for a little while longer and Maybe another week or two.
No, it starts to really bug me. Like, I can't vacuum in that corner of the house. I can't. I can't do those things. So it really starts. I love it while it's up. It's gorgeous. And when I take it down, there's this moment where I'm like, huh, it's a little bare in here. But I'm happy when it's put away as well. And maybe that's it. Maybe I'm anticipating all the work, too. So I just want to get it over with and just be done with it.
Sure.
Because I know how much
it
takes.
Get it over with.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when it comes to food ones that we can celebrate tomorrow, there's a couple interesting ones. Fruitcake toss day is tomorrow. So if you didn't eat the fruitcake that Grandma Edna brought over or Aunt Phyllis brought you for the holidays, this is your day to go have a little fun and do a fruitcake toss day. Maybe something to do with the kids. Just be careful because they can be a little dense, those fruitcakes.
We don't want to hurt the children. Poke an eye out with that thing.
Exactly. It's National Bean Day tomorrow as well. Well, if you were thinking about doing Dating Sunday, I would avoid the beans tomorrow. That's probably not the way to go. And then it's also National Shortbread Day tomorrow as well, which my husband rejoices. He's a shortbread fan. Loves his Lorna Doone shortbread cookies. And then when we look ahead to Sunday, I'm not going to take it anymore. Day is on Sunday, the day where you basically say, that's it. I've had enough. I'm going to do something about it, and I'm not going to take it anymore, whatever that may be. It's also Harlem Globetrotters Day. I mean, they're never going to play a game of basketball in their life,
but they are
fun to watch. Yeah, that's for sure. It's also National Pass Gas Day because Saturday was Bean Day. So there you go.
So when you're taking to the dating apps, you have that working for you.
You have to be careful. It's National Old Rock Day on Sunday as well. And so we're not talking about old rock music. We're just talking about old rocks in general, like the actual ones outside, interestingly enough. And then it's National Bobblehead Day on Sunday as well, which we have a bobblehead museum in Milwaukee if you're looking for something to do. And then this is one that some places in the United States do participate in, or at least some people in the country participate in. No Pants Subway Ride Day is also Sunday. I've been on a subway. I wouldn't do it if I were you, but, you know, each their own. That's all I'm going to say. Each their own. I wouldn't sit on the seats if I don't have any pants on. I would definitely stand through the entire thing.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
It's a very good idea. I've been on subways. There's some yucky things floating around there, that's for sure. Coming up, we're going to take a detailed look at your forecast. We're going to stay in the mid-30s and maybe see some chances for some light snow and flurries over the next 24 hours. Sean Cable's going to tell you about that in just a moment. We'll also have a look at sports with Mike Ganger. And Chris Hobble, our Packers expert, is standing by so that we can talk about the Packers and the Bears Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. Hanging with Hobble here on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance.
A little birdie told me it was time for your mammogram. I'm Laura from Medical Imaging at Reedsburg Area Medical Center. Has your provider been chirping at you to get a mammogram? Scheduling your mammogram is now easier than ever through your Reedsburg Hospital MyChart account. Now that's something to tweet about. Of course, you can also call us for an appointment at 768-6229. Let our caring mammographers take you under their wing. Reedsburg Area Medical Center, going beyond the expected in breast health.
Cell Plus invites you to catch the sunrise on Max FM. 4 hours of positive, uplifting music every Sunday morning from 5 to 9. Brought to you exclusively by your local U.S. Cellular agent. Cell Plus in Baraboo, Reedsburg, and Wisconsin Dells.
Positive music on sunrise.
Kanamichi Craft Bar in Baraboo is the perfect place to meet family and friends for get-togethers and events. They have amazing charcuterie boards, wine from across the globe, craft beer and cocktails, retail wine, and gift cards. Kanamichi is at 126 3rd Street in downtown Baraboo. Be sure to check out their Facebook post for more upcoming live music, comedy, game nights, and events. Kanamichi Craft Bar in downtown Baraboo.
Time for sports on Max FM. It's brought to you by Napa Auto Parts.
Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff from Napa in Baraboo and Portage. This is Napa John. Napa tools and parts are second to none. We've got hard-to-find parts for everyday use, from the smallest wrench to the biggest hoist. Napa has over 300,000 parts in stock every day. No matter the job, if you're a hardcore mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer, we've got the parts you need. Watch for our quarterly sales flyers, and for your peace of mind, buy your tools and parts from Napa in Baraboo and Portage.
Get the good stuff!
With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Anger. Last night, the Baraboo Thunderbird boys basketball team hit the road and came back with a 63-50 win over Edgewood. Also in boys hoops from a night ago, Reedsburg tops McFarland on the road, 65-61. And Sauk Prairie falls at home, Stoughton with a 78-62 win over the Eagles. Portage Wrestling able to get the win over Mount Horeb Barneveld last night, 46-32, the final in that duel. Today is quiet for Baraboo, but tomorrow the wrestlers will be at an invite at Brookfield Central High School starting at 9 a.m. Girls and boys basketball will both be competing at the five-serve forum tomorrow. The girls will take on DC Everest at 12:35, and then the boys will play Richland Center at 2:20. And boys hockey tomorrow will be out at Pierce Park hosting McFarland at 7. RWD boys hockey in action tonight as they're going to be at Edgewood at 7 o'clock. Then the Reedsburg girls basketball team is going to be hosting Mount Horeb tomorrow at 11:30. And the boys hoop squad also will be competing at the Five Serve Forum. 4 o'clock, it's going to be Portage and Reedsburg playing there in Milwaukee. Sauk Prairie tonight, boys hockey at home welcoming Stoughton at 7. Then the girls basketball team will also be home as Edgewood will be at the South Gymnasium starting at 7:15. Sauk Prairie will be hosting our huge wrestling invite tomorrow with a bunch of schools from all around the area attending. 9:15 is when that gets started, and the boys swimmers for Sauk Prairie will be heading to an invite in Madison. And for Portage tomorrow, the wrestlers will be at Sycamore High School starting at 9 a.m. for an invite. In addition to boys basketball playing at the Pfizer Forum at 5 o'clock, immediately following that, it's going to be the girls team taking on Horicon also at the Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee, right around a 5:40 start time for that one. Bucks get back in the win column, 125-121 last night against the San Antonio Spurs. 44-14 for Giannis Antetokounmpo, added 7 assists as well for the game. Also a double-double for Damian Lillard. He had 25 points and 10 assists, and they'll remain on the road going to Houston. They'll take on the Rockets tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We got a look at the Green Bay Packer injury report and some good news from a wide receiver standpoint as Jaden Reed has been limited in practice for the last couple of days. Christian Watson also limited, and Dontavian Wicks was a full participant yesterday. AJ Dillon, Rudy Ford, Elton Jenkins, Isaiah McDuffie, as well as Preston Smith are the five players who have yet to see the practice field this week. Team, of course, is preparing for that Sunday matchup against the Bears. Win, and the Packers are in the postseason. Lose, and there's a remote possibility they could still get in. But again, a win will ensure it. They're going to be at home hosting the Bears 3:25 on Sunday. With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Ganger.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
It is going to be cloudy today. Our high right around 35 this afternoon with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy. We see a few flurries toward morning. Our low down to 27. Tomorrow, cloudy with light snow. Won't be much accumulation, but could be enough to make things a little slick. Our high tomorrow, 34. If you need help with back taxes, give Tax Solutions now a call. They can help with your IRS problems. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
99.7.
It's 8:45 right now and time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Our Packers expert Chris Hovel joins us for a fifth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press-Gazette, and now in his 23rd season as the host of Sportsline 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance. Chris, good morning and happy Friday. How's it going today?
Happy Friday. Friday, Maddie, it's going good, man. I cannot wait for kickoff, and it's been a long time since when it's on a Friday. You're just going, oh,
right?
Get here.
Cannot I know, wait. I know. It's a very exciting time in Lambeau, and if you've been paying attention to the injury report this week, there's some good news and there's some bad news on it, right? Mostly, I think, good news from what I'm understanding. It's lengthy. 21 players listed right now. It's that time of year, and they had a bye really early on. The good news is a lot of those guys are coming back to full practice, or guys that haven't practiced at all. Christian Watson, we're looking at you for a few weeks in limited capacity. Even some rumblings of maybe Luke Musgrave potentially coming back. I'm betting they wait to see what happens this weekend, whether they activate him or not. But these are all very good things. I know there's been a little, even I was a little nervous about the fact that Elton Jenkins hadn't practiced for a couple of days, because I texted you yesterday and I was like, well, Royce Newman, they're not going to do that, are they?
Yeah, no, they're not. There may be a benefit to having split snaps over at right guard, because if Jenkins can't go, and that would be a shame because of the opponent and the circumstances and everything that's at stake. But it would probably, I mean, I'm guessing that Runyon would go to the left side and Sean Ryan would stay on the right side. That would seem to make the most sense since he's got the most snaps there. And Runyon has more than he does at left side. I don't even know if Ryan's lined up on the left side.
Right. Exactly. Well, he did last weekend for Elgton Jenkins. He actually played on the left side in place of Jenkins. So here's the thing, though. Jenkins at his locker yesterday talking to press said, no worries, I'm good. Yeah. So whether that's just Jenkins or whether that's what he's getting from the coaching staff and the medical staff at in Green Bay, we'll see. Today will be a big test for him and even Preston Smith, who we saw go out of the game on Sunday and then come back in all spatted up with that ankle. Feels like it was a lot of rest time just to let these guys kind of heal a little bit and get their minds and their bodies right, because this is a huge game for this team, right? This is as big as it could possibly get for a team this young that nobody had any aspirations for this year. I mean, truly, at this point.
Oh, it's an amazing spot that they positioned themselves in. It could be better. They could have already clinched.
Yes.
But one thing with Jenkins, when you got Montez Sweat lining up on that side of your offensive line on the defense's right end side, you would love to have Rashid Walker get as much help as he can, because Sweat is capable of destroying and ruining a game all by his lonesome, as amazing as that sounds.
Yeah.
But it's true. So they're going to have to give him some special attention. I hope Jenkins can go. If not, whether it's Runyon or Ryan, I do like the fact that Matt LaFleur a little closed-lipped. Now, Jenkins can say he's good to go, but even that might be a little bit of a ruse, although I think he will go. I do think Preston Smith's going to go as well, but either way,
too.
They are better prepared to handle it than they've been in a long time. And with the receivers coming back, which was my greater concern, having Christian Watson and Dontavian Wicks both up and running, I think is just a massive boost for them. And I also got to say, Maddie, I like two things. The fact that the forecast is mild for Sunday, because I don't want any crazy slip of the ball, rain, sleet, stuff to undermine a season. So that way, fair for everybody, same field. And the other thing I like is that the Bears have been playing well lately. And you say, well, why would you like that? That's crazy. Well, there's no way in hay they're going to overlook the Bears, nor should they. And they better have their full attention. I think they do. And I think the Packers realize this is going to be anything but easy. Now, it may end up by a lopsided score, but to get from the kickoff to that lopsided score, it's not going to be easy.
Agreed. So let's start on the offensive side of the ball this morning. Now, we mentioned that the Bears are playing a lot better, and the Bears' defense is actually number one in play this season when sending five pass rushers. Exactly. Which I think is a really odd stat. Max dug deep on this one because Max is always intrigued by the Bears Packers matchup. So I got some good stuff this morning. They're 29th when they send six, which is even crazier. I mean, they're very lopsided numbers, but five exactly is kind of the magic number for the Bears. Jordan Love has been terrific versus the blitz this season, and he's coming off the best game of his career against blitz maven Brian Flores. I mean, Brian Flores has made his bread and butter in this league by blitzing the quarterback. He tried several times against Jordan Love last Sunday, and Jordan Love was able to decipher, pick it up, use his legs if he needed to, and really just keep the play alive to move the ball down the field. And if they're going to try to blitz, I kind of expect the same thing. Jordan Love has been pretty good this season when people have tried to come at him. That's the one thing we talked about on Tuesday. He's learned from past mistakes, right? Yeah. When he played the Chiefs a couple years ago, Spagnuolo blitzed him like crazy, and he's been able to really learn from some of those mistakes and some of those past experiences this season.
Well, the Bears have been really defensively, and I got to give Matt Eberflus credit for hanging in there with that side of the ball, too. I mean, where they've come from the beginning of the season to now is fairly amazing. Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards are the heartbeat of that, the inside linebackers. And, I mean, Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith, the former Bear, are really, they may be the best duo inside among all of them. But these guys aren't far behind. And they play the run defense like crazy. So, generally, their plan, it would appear, is snuff the run, get you in some down and distance, like a lot of teams, but then bring five.
Right.
And that seems to be the magic number for them. And that would tell me the reason five is such a good number is because if they have to go with fewer DB, they're in trouble.
Yes. Yeah, their secondary is not strong. Their secondary is the weak link. And so going deep this game, which is why weapons like Christian Watson and Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed being healthy, those are going to be important because their backfield is not great. Jalen Johnson, we mentioned him, they're really good young corner. I thought it was an ankle. I had seen somewhere earlier last over the weekend that it was ankle. It's actually a shoulder. He's going to try to go, though. So I guess I would target him early on just kind of test that shoulder and see exactly what they have in that shoulder and what he's capable of out there.
Well, you know, Kyler Gordon would play the slot some for them, but Jalen Johnson's their best corner. I don't think there's any question about that. And if he can't go, now they got a bigger hit even on that, what we're talking about, having to go with one fewer DB. Jalen Johnson's a fine player. Now, Tariq Stevenson, the draft pick, 56th overall out of Miami this year, for a rookie, just having an incredible run here in the midst of the Bears, just picking off every other pass, it seems like. 6 foot, 214, strong guy, and a tough one in run support, almost plays like a safety at corner. But if Johnson can't go or is less than, because as we saw with Jair and other corners through the years, when your shoulder and you're a corner and that can't go, how do you defend a pass at the high point in the air? How do you tackle worth a darn so the guy doesn't get yards after the catch? And I think early on, if Johnson does play, they're going to make him tackle, whether it's trying to tackle Aaron Jones in the flat or Dylan, preferably, or a tight end. They're going to, or just run it right over to that side and the heck with the pass at him. They're going to make him have to tackle, find out what he's all about. Much like you would if he had a corner with an iffy hamstring. Make him run 40 yards on the first two snaps just to see what he's got.
I mean, and we've seen teams do that against Jair when he's coming back from injury, right? I mean, it's what you do if you're a good offensive-minded coach, which we know Matt LaFleur is. Now, I don't want to diminish anything the Bears team has done because they are, to me, a dangerous team coming into Lambeau. Nothing to play for. Would love nothing more than to snuff out the hopes of the Green Bay Packers, especially after that shellacking they took first game of the season. The Bears defense is playing at a really high level right now, but you also need to look at the matchups they've had lately. Now, over the past seven games, they faced the number 31, number 23, number 25, 22, and 26 offenses. And two of those games were against the number 5 Lions, where they gave up 30 points on the road and then 13 at home. So, you know, and again, I don't want to diminish anything because this is a team that looks completely different than the first go around. But again, matchups are important. I think when you're looking at some of the statistics and where this Bears defense is. And this is a Bears team that knows very much that the rivalry has not been much of a rivalry. So they continue to talk about it.
Well, 9 straight losses to the Packers for the Bears. And Matt LaFleur has never lost to Chicago, knock on wood.
Yes, so we'll hope that that trend continues this weekend. Now, you mentioned Montez Sweat, and the addition of him to this Bears defense has been amazing. But they're not generating a ton of sacks without sending those extra bodies. In fact, they rank 27th in sack percentage with just their 4-man rush, as we were kind of talking about here just a few minutes ago. But even though they're not getting a lot of sacks without sending extra rushers, they have one of the lowest blitz rates in the league as well. In fact, they're 30th in first down blitz rate, and they're 27th in the third down blitz rate. So it kind of sounds like they're trying to get you behind the sticks maybe a little more on your second down, seeing what they can kind of complicate maybe for the quarterback, and really just kind of trying to test out whether you're going to try to throw it deep on them, whether you're going to try to run it. It is kind of how I perceive a statistic like that.
Well, you know, Maddie, it's interesting because turnovers clearly are a big deal. But aside from that, whether you have them or you don't, the down and the distance, and the fact that they're not very good against teams when they blitz on first down, what that tells me is a great way to crack the nut of the Bears' defense is if you can effectively throw on first down and get yourself in great down and distance and then force them to have to, now what? We're going to start trying to blitz on first down to compensate even more for that. Well, that should theoretically open up the run game as opposed to trying to use the run to get the passing game going. So I do think their advantage and passing on first down is going to be key. Now, you got to do it. You got to hit on those plays, whether it's a tight end, and they don't have to be for the home run at all. But any kind of production on first down is going to be critical Sunday for the Packers' success, and they've been really good that way, so I don't know why that would change.
And I think it's interesting when you really examine this Bears defense because, you know, we mentioned their backfield, their DBs are not quite as strong as their front line. In fact, they're actually 26th per play on yards allowed when you have a deep throw to the left, and which is kind of interesting. When you're in the middle of the field, they're much stronger as far as a team and being able to stop the deep pass. But on throws to the left, this is not a good defense on throws to the left, which kind of probably tells me personnel alignment, maybe rookies, all of that kind of stuff. But it's going to be interesting to see how Matt LaFleur attacks that, knowing the same information we're talking about right now and what he's seen on tape. Because Jordan Love has proven this season that if he's given enough time, and by the way, he had some, there were a few plays last weekend that he had 3 seconds, almost 3 seconds to throw the ball, which for a quarterback is actually an eternity.
Especially as
fast as that Vikings front line can be and how much we know Brian Flores likes to blitz. But in some cases, he had up to 3 seconds to throw, which really tells me that I think Matt LaFleur, I don't know if there's much they have to change from what they did last week to this week. That's, I think, what I'm really concentrating on. It feels like you can do a lot of the same things.
Similar defenses. The inside linebackers are different, though. The Bears are much more active, okay. And that's why, to your point of the stat of over the middle of the field, because Jordan Love explicitly yesterday said,
yes.
You know, look, we got to get the run game.
Yep.
When I can go under center, mm-hmm. and play action, things are really good, but we got to suck the linebackers up and throw behind them.
Yeah.
And I know that's football 101, but saying and doing it two different things, but they right. have with Aaron Jones now and the weapons and the tight end, they can effectively do that. Not every team can throw over the middle, and the reason some of that is, right. is because the quarterback, they either don't have the arm or the accuracy, and it's, you know, you're taking a bit of a risk throwing it over the middle, but you have to attack the heart of the defense,
right.
and they're going to, I think, look to do that. And Christian Watson's return, even if he gives them 10 snaps,
right.
but he can run.
Yes.
I mean, they're going to, I would devise whatever you can for Watson that you used to for Reed and end arounds and tosses and quick pitches,
yep.
and that and go there. And he knows his role, but you got to keep Wicks and Dobbs on the field and Reed throwing to those three, I think,
yes.
even more than Watson.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this offense this year for the Green Bay Packers has proven to be pretty good on whatever a defense is trying to run at it. Matt LaFleur, in most games, because I know it hasn't always looked like it, right? It hasn't always looked like it, but Jordan Love has actually been pretty efficient in most of his games when you really sit down and you analyze the statistics, the stats, and look at it from game to game. It's been very consistent across the board. Obviously, every quarterback has their outlier, but he's been pretty consistent in most games throughout the year. So I think that if you can really just run your offense the way you want to run it, I feel like this is a team who could exploit some of the things that the Bears are a little weaker at, you know? And I don't say that lightly, because I have watched the Bears play the last few
right.
weeks. It's a much different team. And I feel like getting Aaron Jones heavily involved early in the game is going to be huge. I'm kind of hoping that you can use Ben Sims a little bit more with Tucker Kraft, because I think having those two-way blockers to help out the line and really spring Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon, I think that would be a huge help against this particular defensive front that they're going to show you from the Bears. So
agree with all that. The Packers, one thing that's, you know, as you get further